Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God we'll focus on today is our second lesson from Romans. Let's begin with prayer. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Amen. The murderer stood there, soaked in his own sweat and sprayed with blood. And in his hand, his trembling hand, he still held the murder weapon, which was dripping his victim's blood all over the shelves and the books that he'd knocked off of them during the struggle. And he thought if he could just get himself cleaned up in a hurry, maybe he could get away with it. The problem was, though, he was trapped. There was nowhere for him to go. He was in a house filled with guests, and he knew it was only a matter of time until they caught them, only a matter of time until he heard those chilling words, Colonel Mustard, in the library with the candlestick. You know, I'm not talking about a real murder, of course. This is the board game, Clue. Many of you have probably played Clue, right? You try and figure out who murdered the owner of the house, what room they did it in, what was the murder weapon. What is it about mysteries that fascinate us? Why do we use games like Clue to entertain ourselves? Why is it that mystery shows like CSI and NCIS are always at the top of the ratings on television? Maybe you think about the ones that you watched when you were younger, Murder, She Wrote and Columbo. Why is it that a character like Sherlock Holmes keeps making comebacks so long after he was written about? What is it about a mystery that fascinates us? Well, I think if we examine mysteries, the reason we like them so much is it's fun to have them revealed, isn't it? It's fun to have that aha moment after we've followed the detective and followed the clues and unraveled the intricate details of it all, and you see, well, you see the unknown become known. When it comes to the greatest mysteries, though, the mysteries of life, things like why we're here and what our purpose is and how can I be right with God when deep down I know I'm not, those are mysteries that people spend their whole lives trying to uncover. People are troubled by the things they see around them in this world. They're troubled by sickness and death and the limitations of humanity, and so they search for clues. Some people turn to philosophy and try and find the answers for existence. Some people turn to science to try and uncover the meaning of life. Some people look to secret societies or cults. Somewhere, someone's got to have an answer. Well, of course, someone does. God has an answer to those questions of why we're here, because he put us here, of what our purpose is, to live with him forever. But God also has an answer to the greatest mystery, the mystery of how we could ever be able to come back into his good graces. And he hasn't kept this mystery hidden. He's revealed it. We heard about it today in our first lesson. We heard some clues. We heard some more in the gospel, didn't we, with Gabriel's announcement. And today, as we take a look at Paul's letter to the Romans, the final verses from this great book of the Bible, we're going to follow the clues and retrace the steps as we see how God reveals his mystery. And St. Paul, he tells us that the good news at the beginning of our text was in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. And so, like any good detective, we have to go back to the beginning, and in this case, the beginning of this world. We go back to Adam and Eve. We go back to just after creation and the fall into sin, where we find in Genesis 3, verse 15, God speaking to Satan after the devil had led Adam and Eve into sin and saying this, pulling back the veil on the curtain of that mystery just a little bit as he He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And it's here in this very first promise that God makes that we see the mysteries start to become uncovered just a little bit. There would be someone from mankind, the offspring of woman, who would destroy the work of Satan. Now you fast forward about 2100 years, or at least to 2100 BC, where we find a man named Abraham. And Abraham was a man that God came to and revealed a little bit more of his mystery to. In fact, it's to Abraham that God makes this promise. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So here we see another clue. The veil pulled back a little bit more. Be through the family of Abraham, through the Jewish nation, that God would bring this offspring of the woman that he had promised. It would be through that one nation, Israel, that all nations on earth would be blessed. And God kept speaking his messages and kept revealing details of this mystery to the nation of Israel, even after Abraham died. In fact, you go forward about 1,100 years in time, and you hear God speaking again to Israel, this time to Israel's king, King David. We heard that in our first lesson today. David had wanted to build a house, a temple for God, so that God could live among his people. God had different plans, though. In fact, God did plan to live among his people, but it was going to be in a unique way. And so he made this, this promise to David. He said, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and you rest with your fathers. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body and will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. David had wanted to build a house for God, a temple, but God had a different plan. And yes, you can look at this and say, well, this was fulfilled, wasn't it, by King Solomon, who did build a temple, who was David's son. Well, I suppose in part it was. But there was something much bigger going on here. Did you catch that? God said, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, King Solomon didn't reign forever, and David's throne and his son Solomon's throne didn't have someone sitting on it forever. In fact, it's been empty for thousands of years. So there's something more going on here. And the mystery continued. And you go ahead another 300 years in time, and you get to the time of the prophet Isaiah. And God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, tells Israel that there was going to be something that would mark the coming of the promised rescue, a sign that would mark the time when God actually would come and dwell among his people, but in a way that no one could have imagined. In Isaiah chapter 7, God says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which we just sang about, that's Hebrew for God with us. And so the mystery becomes clearer. This promised offspring of the woman would not just be human. This would be God himself. All along in the Old Testament, God promised by the prophets this deliverance, this plan he'd put into place. But in the New Testament, it would first be announced, not by the prophets, but by an angel. And we heard that, how the angel Gabriel came to a young woman named Mary and fulfilled the words of Isaiah the prophet and the words God spoke to David and the words God spoke to Abraham, going all the way back to the beginning, as he said to her, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Do you see how God revealed his mystery, his eternal rescue mission? He revealed it through his word. His word which points to the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. The one who had been promised by the prophets and announced now by the angels at Christmas, and who is given to us through that same word as we hear the good news. This is why St. Paul was so excited as he concludes this letter to the Romans, which is filled with the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen again to this doxology of praise that he breaks into as he closes this letter, saying, "Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen." Amen. God had come up with the perfect plan. God knew the reason we were here, and more importantly, he knew how to get us where he wanted us, back into perfect fellowship and harmony with him. And he told us everything we needed to know about this plan in his word. And it all had to do with Jesus. Jesus, the Word made flesh, who came into this world and became the answer to how God, the perfect and just, the holy and unchanging ruler of all, could ever allow us rebellious sinners back into his presence. It was Jesus. He's the answer. It was Jesus not just being born on Christmas, but going to the cross. And there at the cross, suffering the wrath of God for our sins. There at the cross, finding God's hatred for sinners and God's love for sinners meeting with Christ in the middle. That's where his life ended and ours began. That's where he was made guilty so that we could be set free. This is the answer. This is the mystery that God reveals in his word. This is the answer. And it's the message God wants us not just to keep to ourselves, but to take out into the world. Notice God said he wants all nations to believe and obey him. Now that those words, believe and obey him, maybe a better translation of the original Greek would be, God wants all nations to come to the obedience that is faith. In other words, God wants all people to trust the message, to believe in Jesus. He wants all people to know who Christ is and to have confidence that Christ came for them. But if that's going to happen, it means they're going to need to hear the message. And if they're going to hear the message, that means they're going to need someone to tell them. And that's where you and I come in. When we leave church here today, God expects us to go out and to announce this good news that was promised by prophets and announced by angels and given to you. And I know that's a hard thing to do at times. It's hard to share the good news, not because we're ashamed of the good news, but maybe we're afraid of how others will receive it. And even at Christmas, when maybe we have even more reason to be filled with joy over this good news, we still find ways to let our sinful nature rob us of that joy, or Satan comes and crowds God's word out of our lives so that we don't even apply it to ourselves, much less share it with others. But this morning, as you make your final preparation for Christmas, let the good news you are hearing fill you with joy and renew your desire to share it with others. Let God's word today fill you with such confidence and wonder that you go back again and again to discover the mysteries all over and share them with others, so that you come here every week, so that you open the scriptures every day in your homes, so that you gather with friends and family to delve deeper and to uncover those mysteries to life's greatest questions. And when you do that, when you are meditating on God's word and when it fills your heart and it occupies your mind, well, then it's going to be on your lips too. And you won't be able to help but share the mystery that God has shared with you. And this is what God wants this Christmas and always, so that others like us can come to this obedience that is faith, so that others like us can be ready for that day when our Lord Jesus returns And we can cry out with the Apostle Paul, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. We join together to confess our Christian faith with